First, I want to start with this headline. Phoenix shoppers finding empty shelves as food supply chain problems persist. Remember the hoarding that happened at the beginning of COVID, where it was almost a man-made problem where people were going in and buying all the toilet paper. Why toilet paper? I don't understand. But that was what they were doing. They were hoarding items. We're beginning to see that kind of feeling for people. They're doing Christmas shopping now. They're getting things done now because of the supply chain problem that's happening. So is this a real issue? And I want to, this is why I'm asking this question. Ron Klain, who is the White House chief of staff, tweeted not once but twice about this being a high-class problem. In other words, it's only the elite that are dealing with this. Like, it's almost like first-world problems. Whenever you hear somebody complain and you say first-world problems, and I'll give you an example. When I was earlier during COVID, last October, I believe it was, of 20, I purchased a jacuzzi. And it didn't get delivered to my house until, I think, April, something like that, March or April. Now, I knew then, I thought, even then, I wasn't complaining because I thought, if that's my biggest problem from COVID-19, that my jacuzzi delivery was delayed, that's a first world problem. There's nothing, you don't write letters and you don't get crazy and angry over that. That's just part of the fallout of what's going on. But that the attitude now is this supply chain issue is a first world problem. So Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, was asked by a reporter, do you agree with this? Do you not think this is a little tone deaf when food prices and gas prices and all these prices are going up? And yet the White House chief of staff is making it look as if, oh, it's not really that big of a deal to anybody except the elites. And here's what she said.
I think the point here is, well, there are some critics who are saying what some of these critics are saying is we don't know if they're saying that what they thought was great was when the unemployment rate was double what it is today, or when people were locked in their homes and therefore gas prices were lower. We're at this point because the unemployment rate has come down and been cut in half, because people are buying more goods, because people are traveling, and because demand is up, and because the economy is turning back on. So Jason Furman, of course, is more than capable of speaking or tweeting for himself, obviously, and providing any additional context. But what the point is here is that we are at this point because we've made progress in the economy. And what would be worse, in our view, is if the unemployment rate was at 10%, people were out of work, hundreds of thousands of people were still dying of COVID, and people weren't able to lose their homes. So that's the full context.
So the supply chain issue is not the issue. As a matter of fact, it's a good thing because it shows how strong our economy is, according to the White House. That's what they're running with. That because there is more demand, that's why fuel prices have gone up. The White House, the President of the United States, is asking OPEC nations to pump more oil to drive the cost of oil down because we're watching gas prices go through the roof. There has been an attack on the fossil fuel industry from this administration. And anybody who covers for this administration by saying that these issues are happening, inflation, because the economy is turning back on, is fooling themselves. The economy of the United States, and I want, honestly, the economy of the United States was rolling at its best pace in decades during the Trump administration pre-COVID. And there was no inflation. We had unemployment at unimaginable lows. Unemployment was at a 50-year low for almost every single demographic that we record, including convicted felons that had been released from prison. So we had America working. And so I'm not saying that everything that the former president did was the best. All I'm telling you is that we were rocking and rolling with our economy just a year and a half or 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago. We were rolling along without these problems. So to tell America and the rest of the world, number one, that this is an elitist problem is tone deaf. But then on top of that, for the White House press secretary to come out and say that this is a good thing, and that's basically what she's saying. We think this is better because it means people are working. And I've got in front of me, Phoenix shoppers find empty shelves. Biden begs oil industry to lower prices. Top Obama economist goes after the woke Fed for opening an inflation Pandora's box. This is someone that was part of the Obama administration. Southwest Airlines offered an explanation, but it isn't much. Turkey farmers say shortage of workers will delay production for, of course, Thanksgiving, which means prices for turkeys through the roof. Brace for price shock. America's heating bills to soar up to 50% this winter. So once again, I will talk about policy. And I think this is what we miss when we talk about presidential elections, when we talk about anything political. It becomes a love hate. You love them or you hate them. And it's not that way for me. I am totally dispassionate about who these people are. I am passionate about the policies that they implement. So the Biden administration promised America that he was going to raise taxes. He was going to raise taxes on people that made more than $400,000 a year. And if you make more than $400,000 a year, your taxes aren't going to go up. Well, we haven't seen that yet. They haven't been able to get that passed yet. But the other things that he promised on climate change and the Paris Climate Accord and going after the fossil fuel industry, he's keeping those promises. And the working class Americans are always the ones that get shafted when these things happen. And the reason why they get shafted is because when people make mistakes, when they make decisions that are ideological, and that's what these are, we are going to stop the pipeline. Why? It's bad for the environment. We're going to stop fracking. Why? It's bad for the environment. We're going to reduce oil drilling leases. Why? It's bad for the environment. We've got to clean up climate change. Now, there are people out there that believe that all of these changes are good and necessary. Well, they're good and necessary when you're someone that can afford to pay the difference. When you're a billionaire flying around the world like Prince Charles, and you are telling the world about climate change, but you're flying in a private jet like John Kerry, like Al Gore, it's easy for you to say, yes, those cost increases are necessary. But to a family that's got to get two parents to work in separate cars, a gas price increase like this is hurtful. When you're trying to feed a family healthy food, and healthy food is either not on the shelves or so expensive, you start having to go with the cheapest you can, and you're feeding your kids junk because the healthy food is so much more expensive. Then the government steps in and says, well, we need to subsidize. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to send parents checks every month. Well, why not reduce the taxes you were talking about before and leave the money in the pockets of the Americans? Well, we're taking the money from the rich and we're giving it to the poor. Except then the rich raise the cost of doing business. The supply chain issue, the idea of fuel prices going up, which was an intentional act by this administration, kicked off this inflation that we are seeing. The supply chain issue could have been handled and should have been handled a long time ago. As soon as the port in China was closed for 2 weeks, the largest port on the entire planet got shut down. Why wasn't the American government scrambling to say, we know that this is I had an expert on the show from right here in Phoenix named Kristen Bentz, who said when that happens, sometimes it's a 6 to 8 week bottleneck. Why weren't we looking for other options? Now you've got people like DeSantis in Florida saying, bring them into the ports here. Redirect those ships from New York. Bring some of them down to Miami. We're ready to unload the ships. Yesterday, the president said they made a plan with private business to run the port of L.A. 24 hours, 7 days a week. You can't blame everything on an administration, but they can't shirk blame either. If former press secretaries from the Trump administration were telling the same stories that Jen Psaki was telling, you would be hearing the narrative once again that everybody in that administration is lying and it's time to get rid of the liars. Because that's just a lie. And every American understands it. To be able to try to say this is a good thing, that prices are going through the roof. Heating oil. It's going to be a very, very, very cold winter for some people. And there's going to be a 50% increase in heating oil. There will be families that cannot afford that. So what do they do? Just bundle up on the couch? And this is just part of the plan. This was an intentional change in policy. And America has to decide, are these the policies that we want? And there are many that do. And God bless you. That's the way you should vote then. Yes, we're willing to pay a lot more, no matter who we are, in order to clean up whatever you think the problem is with the environment. You have a right to that opinion. But to believe Jen Psaki and saying this is a good thing because the economy is turning back on is a false narrative. Coming up in a moment, we're going to talk about the vaccine mandates and the madness that's around it. We're going to get to that firefighter coming up in the next hour, but the mandates and what how the fallout directly for others. We'll talk about it next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
Hey, thanks so much for being here. Appreciate you joining me on this Friday morning. The FDA is giving a green light to the Moderna booster, but we got to talk a little bit more about vaccines and mandates. New Navy guidance will discharge sailors refusing COVID-19 vaccinations without exemption. So I think the Marine Corps has two different exemptions that they allow for Marines. The Navy is saying sailors will be discharged without exemption. So that's what they're doing. Nurses are suing a hospital for blanket denial of religious vaccine exemptions. And another long story about nurses being fatigued, emotionally, physically, mentally tired. Nurses' morale hits a pandemic low. Chicago Police Union head urges members to defy vaccine mandates and warns that the Chicago police force will shrink by 50% this weekend. So my suggestion is this. I think that the Phoenix Police Department, which is in desperate need of experienced officers, and trust me, if you work in Chicago, you're an experienced officer. They should be doing a big recruiting push in the city of Chicago, and we should try to get those officers to come here. The issue I have with this, and this is also kind of a preamble, an hour from now, we're going to speak with a firefighter from the Salt River Fire Department that's been fired because he didn't get the vaccine. It's happened to more than one, but we're going to have one of those firefighters on with us in the next hour. A year ago, first responders were the heroes. We kept hearing follow the science. We kept hearing from people, listen to the medical professionals. These are the medical professionals. These are medical professionals, and I'm talking about firefighters that are paramedics, and in many cases they are, and the nurses that we've talked about, and other respiratory therapists, people that are medical professionals that not only understand medicine, but they also understand COVID-19 because they face it every day. They've seen the serious illness. They've seen the death. They've seen long-term effects. And in spite of all of that, with the data that they have decided that they are not going to get vaccinated. One more thing. I want you to think about the travel that's coming up, what Thanksgiving is going to be like, what Christmas might be like for travel. And I want you to hear a little bit of a report of what's going on.
The fact that 40% of TSA's employees are not vaccinated, even if they get half of that done by Thanksgiving, that leaves 20% not available to work.
20% of the TSA workforce, that's if they get half of the unvaccinated workers vaccinated. 20% of their workforce will be unavailable during the holidays, or at least for Thanksgiving. And that's, you know, that is incredible. That is incredible. So this vaccine mandate is as political as it started out is getting worse, because what this has done now is put this administration between a rock and a hard place. We are seeing a fallout of underemployment now because of vaccine requirements. We are watching in the medical world where it's funny. The president of the United States said get vaccinated yesterday. And what we need to do, we should do all of this to get vaccinated so we can get past this virus. Well, one of the things we also need are medical workers for people that are getting sick. And if you don't have the people on staff, you know, beds are not the only thing you need. I track every day what's going on, and we are still trending in the right direction here. Although slower than in the past, we are trending in the right direction. But one of the things that is connected to equipment, which is beds and ventilators and things of that nature, are the staff that they need to take care of those patients. During COVID-19, during the middle of the pandemic, before the vaccines were available, when we saw our biggest spike, remember the big stories that were out there that we were bringing in refrigerated trailers, and the mayor of Phoenix ran out there and said something about this, and the head of the hospital group said, no, that's just standard procedure. But remember the scare that we had about all of that? There was talk in the medical world that currently infected employees in the medical field might have to come into work sick in order to take care of patients. And now they're firing him. Those people are being fired. They're losing their jobs. So now we're seeing in America, we're seeing a bunch of people that, it, like myself, I fit into this category. I have been fully vaccinated. And yet I will stand shoulder to shoulder with someone that says, it's against my belief, or I don't want this vaccine. I've looked at what's going on, and I'll take my chances. I'll take my chances. They say, well, you're also risking other people. You're risking other unvaccinated people. Well, that's not true. Well, then the vaccine isn't worth anything. If I, as a vaccinated person, have to worry because you're not vaccinated, why should I get the vaccine? Well, it lessens this and it lessens that. Well, you are defeating your own argument with the things you're saying. Not only are you defeating your own argument, you are pitting one against another. The medical workers, the nurses, and the medical staff that worked in hospitals during COVID-19, whether they were directly treating COVID patients or not, truly did heroic work. I watched it with my own eyes. When I was in the emergency room, in and out of the emergency room, I have friends that are nurses. I told stories of what they did. Their children were left in other houses because they were worried about infection. They would come home from work. This is a mother and a daughter. They would come home from work. They'd strip down, close into the washing machine, straight into the shower. They wiped down and sanitized the inside of their vehicle every day. They were doing this on a daily basis in order to work these long, long, long shifts with very limited time off to take care of COVID patients and other patients for other illnesses. And now they're being told, if you don't comply with this, we're going to fire you. We trust you with other people's health. We don't trust you with your own. And I think it's become a political football for this administration, because we're going to watch travel be hammered. All of this supply chain stuff. Now we're going to watch medical workers and first responders. This is bad. It's bad. It's a bad look. It's a bad fight. And in the end, we won't remember a lot about COVID, but we'll definitely remember the way it was handled. It's definitely going to be what happens. In a moment, we get the BQ poll question of the day. And just after 9 o'clock, a big update, as you've heard us talking about, the Cardinals getting a new tight end, which could be great. That's all coming up.
The Gatos Big Q poll question, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.
All right, the big Q poll question this morning. Steve Zinsmeister in studio. It's good to have you.
I thought I would grace you with my presence.
My goodness.
For once.
What are you doing here? Aren't you supposed to be sleeping in?
Gatos has got me coming in real early. You know, turns out he has a lot of duties that he put upon me. So
he's out of town still, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, he is. He's in Greece.
And Chad doesn't care.
No, Chad does not care about anything.
Chad's in this building 20 hours a day, so he understands.
Chad literally slept in his office, not last night, but the night before. Yeah. He came in and he was like bragging about it. Yeah. I was like, dude, don't brag about that.
I thought I worked a lot.
Yeah, I know, right?
No.
The Gatos Big Q poll question today. Despite injuries and COVID infections, will the Arizona Cardinals remain undefeated this weekend in Cleveland? You and I, both originally from Cleveland. Cardinals are heading back there, and it is not looking good on the injury report right now.
No, it isn't, but they did pick up a big tight end.
They traded for Zach Ertz. I just saw that.
Yeah.
I just came in and heard Jeff Munn say it on the news.
Yeah, so.
Okay, so Chandler Jones, out, COVID.
Yep.
Rodney Hudson, out, injury. Kyler Murray, limited with an arm injury to his throwing arm. DeAndre Hopkins, who you probably don't beat the San Francisco 49ers without that guy, so he has been struggling at practice with an illness, I think. It's just, it's all piling up right now.
It is. It is. And when you look at the defense that Cleveland has,
they're really good.
They are really good.
They're really good. And they've got a slew of injuries, too, by the way.
Yeah, that's a good
football
team.
They've got a ton of dudes.
But that's a good football team.
Yeah. Plus the COVID infections. I think the other two, one of them was Chandler Jones, but the other two were coaching staff members, I think, so I don't know how much that impacts the game, but I mean, if I was a betting man, I would not want to bet on this game.
But the way it changes things for them with COVID is they were one case away from going into that, what is it, the intensive protocol?
Yeah, whatever that is.
Called. But that's where they go to the virtual meetings, and there is no sit-down meals. It's grab-and-go meals. And so they had to be implementing some things because they didn't want to get there.
Right.
And if you're the Cleveland organization, do you want them bringing this with them into Cleveland?
No, you probably don't. You're probably right about that. Today's practice is going to tell us a lot about who's going to play and who's not going to play on Sunday. We already know Chandler Jones and Rodney Hudson out. That's two captains, by the way. And then there's two others that are did not practice the last 2 days, plus Kyler Murray's arm. So there's just a lot going
on. It's time for J.J. Watt to show us why we got him.
Well, but if Chandler Jones is out, they're going to be paying so much attention to Watt.
But if he can take the double teams, if he can take that away from some of the other guys on the defense, they can be creative and they can make some things happen. Those two young linebackers have got to step up and start. This has got to be their big weekend, because if not, it could be a long day.
It's going to need to be a team win.
Right.
Team win.
Yeah, special teams has got to get something done, too. We need turnovers.
I'm all for it.
All right, I love it. Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it. The Big Q poll question of the day brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers. Coming up in a moment, we're going to catch up with Luke Lipinski from our sister station in Arizona Sports. We're going to talk a little bit about all of the things we were just discussing with one of the experts here in the Valley from a sports station. All that's coming up in just a moment. Stick around.